Today, we're going to continue our study that we've been doing on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. We're going to begin in the Gospel of John. We're going to look at some noteworthy verses in the Gospel of John. So let's start off right in the Gospel of John with me, chapter 1, amen, chapter 1, and let's look at what verse number 1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now let's drop down to verse number 14 and see what the Word of God has to say in John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, the Word here, notice, I want you to notice with me here, it's a capital W. Amen. It's a capital W. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, capital W, and the Word was God, capital W. Amen. And then in verse 14, and the Word, capital W, was made flesh. Now, the Word, capital W, refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. According to John chapter 1, verse 14. Now, in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, we read, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Again, the Word, referring to Jesus Christ, is a capital W. Now, in 1 John with me, chapter 1, verse 1, which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word, capital W again, of life. So when you see the Word with a capital W, it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when referring to the written scriptures, the lowercase W is proper. Amen. All right, let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in verse number 12. The Word of God says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now the world says, seeing is believing. The Christian says just the opposite. Amen. But as many as received him, to them gave he powers to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, let's look at Psalm 27, verse 13. There's a good reference here. The Word of God says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Alrighty, let's turn now to the second chapter of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, in verse number 5. Notice what the Word of God says. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Again, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it, is the only command that Mary, amen, Mary ever gave. Very important to see, because some religions puff up Mary and make her the intercessor between she and the Son and God and so forth and so on. But we see here, amen, that the only commandment, and this was at the marriage feast at Canaan, whatsoever thee say unto thee, do it, in referring to when Jesus told the servants at the marriage feast to fill the water pots with water, where he turned into unfermented wine. All right, so we're in the second chapter of the Gospel of John. Now, we want to look at verses 18 through 21 and see there what the Word of God has to say. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showeth thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. What I want you to see here is this. This is one of those places in the Gospels where Jesus is probably pointing to himself when he's speaking. He refers to his body as this temple. He says that he will raise it up in 3 days after it is destroyed. This contradicts the Jehovah's Witness teaching that Jesus was resurrected a spirit creature and not in the same body that he was crucified. All righty, let's turn next to the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, and we want to look at verses 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Here we have Jesus dealing with Nicodemus, who came to him by night, amen, because he didn't want to hear the fear of the other Jews, and Jesus deals with him about the new birth. And we read in verse 3 of John 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Now, every believer should be well acquainted with this passage on the new birth. And every believer should be able to prove why the phrase born of water refers to the physical childbirth and not baptism. The references are Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 18, Isaiah 48, verse 1, and Song of Solomon, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 12. To be born of water is to be born physically the first time. To be born of the Spirit, amen, is to be born spiritually the second time. All right, let's continue as we're looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible, and in particular in the Gospel of John. Now, we want to turn to chapter 4 of the Gospel of John, and let's drop down and look at verse number 24 with me. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24 says, and of course, this is the discourse where Jesus is dealing with the Samaritan woman at the well. And he says to her, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what I want us to see from this verse is God is to be worshiped in spirit and in truth, not in ceremonialism, not in lukewarmness, not in artificialism, and not in entertainment. He is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Let's turn to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John. I want us to look at verse number 18 of John 5. And the Word of God says in John 5, verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not had only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." What's important about this verse? This is a good verse, my dear listeners, on the deity of Christ. It was understood that Jesus was claiming deity by claiming God as his Father. Amen. Now, we're in John chapter 5, are we not? Let's look at verse number 39 as we continue our study here on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. In the Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 39, and the Word of God says this, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me." This is the only search warrant that Jesus ever gave. We are to search the Scriptures and find Jesus, of course. The Scriptures, of course, at that time were the Old Testament Scriptures. Jesus is saying that the Old Testament testifies of Christ. Amen. Let's look at verse 44 of John chapter 5. The Word of God has this to say, "How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" This verse explains why many people never receive Christ. It explains why most Christians never bear a cross for Christ. They're too wrapped up in the praises of men to care about pleasing God. Amen. Alrighty, let's look, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Chapter 6 with me. And let's look at verses 28 and 29 of John chapter 6. The Word of God says, "Then say they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." Amen. You see, a man is saved by works, but not his own works. Amen. The work of God is what saves a man. Then chapter 6, verse 37, we read, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And the reason this verse is noteworthy is because this is a great memory verse on eternal security. Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out." Amen to that. Now let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Chapter 7, we're looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible, in particular the Gospel of John, and we're in John chapter 7, and in verse number 24. The Word of God says, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Amen. Now, here's a verse on judging that never gets quoted. You see, people favor Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, which says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." And they quote this because they think it forbids judging. However, They ignore verses like the one we just read in John 7:24 and also 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, which says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." See? So the rule on judging is simple. Don't judge when you don't have to. And judge righteously when you do have to. Amen? Alrighty, let's go turn to the Gospel of John, and we're going to be in verse 8 now, in verse 47. Verse 8, John chapter 8, verse 47. Notice what the Word of God has to say here. We read this. "He that of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." A man that is of God is supposed to hear God's word. This is a truth that raises a very important question about most modern Christians that keep flocking to the big mega churches for religious entertainment. Are they really even saved? By the biblical standards, the answer is no, at least for most of them. To attend such a church for a while and then leave for something better is one thing, but to stay in such churches for years and never leave is a strong indication that someone doesn't love the Word of God, because they've never been born of the Word of God. As 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." There are exceptions, of course, but the rule still stands. Amen? Now let's look at John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 58. And in John chapter 8, verse 58, we read, "Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." When Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am," he was claiming to be the I am of Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, which says, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." Now, Exodus 3, verse 14, doesn't predate Abraham, but the I am does. Amen. Now, let's look at John chapter 10 and verse 10. Notice with me what it says here in John 10:10. We read this. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. My dear friends, there's no insurance like abundant life insurance. That's why Jesus has come, not only to save you. His work at Calvary was not only to save you, but that you might have life more abundantly. And you never lived. You've never lived the abundant life, my dear listener, unless you receive Jesus Christ in his blood atonement at Calvary to pay for all your sins, past, present, and future, and secure you a home in heaven. You want to really live, as they say, the good life, the abundant life? Then if you're listening today, have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon the name of the Lord to save you, won't you do that today and receive that abundant life insurance? Now, again, we're in John chapter 10, and I want to let us look at verses 28 and 29. Notice what the Word of God says. John 10, 28, 29. "And I give unto them life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Amen. These are two great verses on eternal security. Our salvation is called eternal life. Amen. Which would be the wrong terminology if one can lose his salvation. If you lost it, then it wasn't eternal. The same can be saved of the words, never perish. Amen. And then look at verse 30 of John 10, which simply says, I, Jesus is speaking, I and my Father are one. My dear listener, this is probably the most simplistic verse in the Bible on the deity of Christ. The three members of the Trinity are one, so Christ and the Father are one. Amen to that. All right, and let's turn to John 11 with me. John 11, and we want to look at verses 25 and 26 of John 11. Now, in John chapter 11, in verses 25 and 26, the Word of God has this to say, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? And of course, here we have Jesus speaking to Martha, the sister of Mary, and Lazarus. And of course, here, Lazarus has died. He's been placed in the tomb. And Jesus will resurrect him. Now, in addition to being a great memory passage, and as a side note, as well as the inscription on George Washington's tombstone, the passage is a great doctrinal statement on two classes of participants in the rapture, the living in Christ and the dead in Christ, which fully agrees with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, which says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it also agrees with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now, we're in John chapter 11. Let's look at verse 55. And notice what it says. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Now, the notion that Jesus was weeping due to sorrow over Lazarus' death is absurd. He was weeping over the unbelief of Lazarus' family members, which is pointed out very well in verse number 40, amen, of this chapter 11, which says, Say I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? He had told them in verse 4 of John 11 that Lazarus' sickness was not unto death, but for the glory of God. Yet Martha and Mary both implied that Jesus had done wrong in allowing Lazarus to die. Amen. Notice what it says here in chapter 11 in verses 21 and 32. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And then in verse 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. So he weeps over the whole unbelieving situation. Amen. Now let's turn to the next chapter of John, chapter 12. And let's look at verse number 43 together. In John 12, verse number 43, the Word of God says, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." So our verse tells us, it explains the conduct of over 95% of the people you and I know. Amen. Now let's look at John, chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. Probably very familiar to you. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Here is a great and precious promise for every believer. This world is not our home. Heaven is. And by the way, the mansions of verse 2 are found only in the King James Bible. Some say rooms, some say apartments. I just believe the Word of God, what it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I have a mansion waiting for me." And if you're a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're born again, you also have, amen, a mansion waiting for you up in heaven. Praise the Lord for that. Looking in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 3, which says, "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Amen. You see, my dear listener, only the Word of God can keep a believer clean. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 9, reminds us, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Amen. And then we have here in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 14, which says, "Nevertheless," Jesus is speaking, "I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will prove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." This is a great passage on the Holy Ghost, on the Holy Spirit. Notice two things. One, the Holy Ghost doesn't convict people of blaspheming the Holy Ghost, and he convicts or convinces of unbelief. Secondly, he doesn't speak of himself like the charismatics do. He speaks of Christ. Amen to that? Okay, we're going to stop there. We're just about run out of time here. We're going to continue next time looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. We'll finish up the Gospel of John and begin and look into the book of Acts. Again, when we're through with this study will be available on CD. If you just drop me a line requesting it at the address given at the end of the broadcast. And if you haven't already, invite you to review my website, allthecounselofgod.com. Till we meet again. Brother Gino, thank you for joining me for the pastor study. May God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.